Hi everyone, this is Dave Dutton. Turnbuckle Trash. Today, Zane and I discuss who is Clive and why does he own me money? Zane and I will also discuss the road to WrestleMania and some of the other things happening in professional wrestling. Chris on the mat. Chris Evans joins us. We'll talk about Fastlane and more. It's all coming up on this edition. By the way, who is Clive? It's Turnbuckle Trash.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into pudding! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
Turnbuckle Trash. It's Dave Denton and that guy. Hello, that guy.
Which guy is it?
Let me think. Let me hear
hey,
your voice
y'all.
Again.
Hey, y'all, this is Chris.
This is not Chris.
I'm here in North Carolina, just walking around my casino. I'm a bad A mother trucking security guard, stopping all these robbings from happening.
Uh-huh. That's definitely not Chris. That is Zane Peterson trying to do his Southern accent. How you doing, Zane?
Hey, dude.
What?
There's something I got to tell you real quick.
Okay.
You know who that is. I don't give a damn about my reputation.
Oh, little Ronda. Ronda Rousey.
She doesn't give a damn about the WWE right now either.
Let me ask you a question. Do you like it?
I don't not like it. I'm really confused though, okay?
Yeah, okay. Tell me why you're confused, Mr. Zane.
I don't know what she's talking about. Kayfabe and screw the universe. And I'm speculating that this is just a character, right? I mean, this is not real or else she would really be fired, right? If she was
can you imagine Vince?
Like if she really went off script,
she went off script that bad. I think it's all the work myself, but
okay.
But there's that one thing, you know, you go back to Dusty Rhodes, and I've talked about it a few times. In a performance, especially something like professional wrestling, when they're really doing their job, is when they make you say, "Is that real?" And that's what they're doing with this. And I love it. And I can't say it's not a work. I can't say it's a shoot. It might be a shoot work. I don't know.
Yes, that's the beauty of the current state of the WWE. Nobody knows. But there is one thing that Dave Bautista knows.
What does Dave Bautista know?
He knows. The Triple H has kept him down his whole career.
Yeah, did you see the promo that they cut?
Yeah, dude, I'm loving it.
You know, this guy, I keep hearing that I owe my career to him, that he took me under his wing, he made me a star. And way before Evolution, all this guy did was groom me to be his muscle. He used me like some big meathead to protect him, and he held me down, he shut me out, you know, he talked down to me. So, yeah, I left because of Hunter. You know, he didn't think I was a star, you know? Didn't think I was a big enough star to be there on top of the company. But look what I've accomplished since I left the company. Worldwide fame. Movie star status. I got to the point where now I'm in control. I put myself in a position of control without him. This man is the most insecure, selfish, jealous control freak I've ever met. That's who the real Triple H is. And at WrestleMania, pay attention. I'm gonna end his in-ring career. Interview over. Get out of my office.
Get out of my office!
I'm loving it. I'm honestly really looking forward to it. Okay, I'm really looking forward to that match. And I'll tell you what, dude, the Seth Rollins and Brock is, it's growing on me. When Seth Rollins, you know, was scheduled to take on Brock at Mania, I was like, oh, are you kidding me? That's going to be the stupidest feud in the world. But dude, Seth proved me wrong on Raw last night. I mean, that really, really cemented it in for me last night. I loved that Brock running away out of the ring, and it was pretty good. What do you, Queso. I know you and Chris discussed a little bit of Fastlane, so we're not going to get into that very much, but would you say that the road to WrestleMania is in the fast lane, or is it still kind of just on the highway to hell?
Well, I'm thinking that they're starting to rev it up, Bubba. It's about to get onto the Autobahn in Germany.
Yes, das ist die Autobahn.
Fun, 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 the Autobahn. So you probably don't remember that song, so.
All I know is fun, 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 till her daddy took her T-Bird away.
No, that's by the Beach Boys, and that was written in Salt Lake City, by the way.
Really?
Yes.
How did you know that?
I actually interviewed Mike Love of the Beach Boys and got to talk to him about that song.
And didn't you introduce them out on stage or something?
Yes, I did get to introduce the Beach Boys on stage at a concert and got to go backstage and talk to him and a couple of other of the Beach Boys.
Things. You know, do you ever remember that NBA Jam game in the 90s? When, you know, you'd make it like two or three shots in a row, and the guy on the announcer would say, he's heating up.
Oh, no, I don't play video games.
Oh. That's
okay, I play video poker at Chris's casino every once in a while. But
it's okay. Nobody's perfect. So, anyway.
I am.
Would you say that, so WrestleMania, things are heating up?
Yes, things are heating up for WrestleMania number 35 in New York City.
So,
I'm liking some of the build-up. Some of the build-up.
Did you hear who the headlining musical act is going to be?
I'm so excited. I just hope he plays Freebird.
Yes.
Our man, Elias.
Elias. Dude, okay. Let's discuss No Way Jose. No Way Jose.
Who?
And Elias for a moment.
Okay, let's do that.
Is that going to be a WrestleMania match? Or is there, I don't know. Sure hope they don't turn it into something silly again like last year.
I don't know if it's going to be a WrestleMania match. Here's a thought, and I just had this. Elias on stage, okay, he's getting ready to do his little song, and maybe they'll let him actually sing. Remember at Fastlane, he actually did three songs.
Ooh, yeah.
So Elias did three performances at Fastlane. He gets out there and maybe does something like that again. And the final performance, something happens. And some performer is introduced at WrestleMania.
Oh, really?
Or an old-timer comes back.
Oh, like the Honky Tonk Man?
Possibility.
Oh, that'd be good. I'd be fine with that. We already saw Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, we've seen Jeff Jarrett. And when we had the superstar Bill Dundee on with us, superstar said Honky Tonk stole his gimmick, which he did, with the jumpsuit and all that. So
really?
Yeah, he did.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, superstar Bill Dundee used to come out with a jumpsuit just like that, and he would dance around, and that's what Honky Tonk does.
Was he mad?
When I interviewed him, he sounded like he was a little bit bitter about it. So
really?
Yeah.
You know, I've heard people like DDP, they've talked to him about, Randy Orton stealing the diamond cutter. And he says that he thinks it's great. He's like, I love to see that and stuff like that.
Well, how many really new things can be introduced?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Ricochet does that 650.
Mm-hmm.
I remember. And then there was a long time there they couldn't even do the shooting star press because Vince thought it was too dangerous. And now you got Ricochet doing a 650.
So what's next?
Well, now that we've talked about our favorite musical performer, and, you know, we got to walk with Elias in Salt Lake, so I was very, very happy that when we got to walk with Elias. I think we need to run on a little bit more, talking a little bit about the women's tag team division.
Yes. Let's discuss the current state of the women's tag team division. I noticed on Raw last night that a WWE Hall of Famer was brought back into the picture.
And Beth Phoenix, the Glamazon.
Yeah.
So what do you I mean, I remember when they did that all-women's pay-per-view, and they had that that big match, and they had so many of the, quote, divas, remember from the diva era?
Yeah.
I thought Beth looked great in that. Molly Holly, I thought, was performing great. Michelle LaCool, I thought she was awesome in that match. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's beyond the purview that Beth Phoenix can still perform if she makes it to WrestleMania.
Oh, freak no, dude. She's not that old. Her and Edge had a kid a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, think about guys that are wrestling well into their – I mean, Hunter's probably pushing 50, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he is.
Taker's in his 60s, right? Or is Taker in his 60s?
I think he's in his late 50s. But, you know, you got Jerry the King Lawler in his 70s still performing.
Yeah.
When we talked to the superstar Bill Dundee, he's 70 years old. He still gets out there and performs in the ring at that age. So if you have people that are professional, know what they're doing, they can make anybody look even better. And then you take the fact that Beth is a professional. Yeah, I like this idea with the Sasha Banks and Bayley.
Dude, Natty, she's no slouch.
No, not at all.
You know, Natty, I think, is one of the most underutilized in that division. She's so good, dude, and she plays such a good heel. I don't know why she's. I don't know, it's kind of a weird thing. They keep bouncing her back and forth and all around, and you know she. I don't think they've given her a fair shake, in my opinion.
Well, she is the big show of the women's division. Turns heel, turns good. Turns heel, turns good.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm gonna put it to you this way. Because she is so good, they can use her where they need her at the time.
Yeah. Good point. Mm-hmm. Good point. Good point.
Now. Yeah. I'm going to put a theory out to you that I put to Chris, okay?
Okay.
Now, with what happened on Monday Night Raw, with Nia Jax coming out and nobody as Mina than Tamina, did you see that great shirt she had on?
Yeah.
I just thought that was great. Nobody as Mina than Tamina. I said, I might have to buy that one. anyway, now comes SmackDown, and we're recording this on a Tuesday afternoon. The Iconics on SmackDown have been talking smack. Is it going to be a fatal four-way?
Could be. I don't know. I like the Iconics. I think they should have won the titles.
I think they're good enough performers, and then they add that little bit of humor. Mm-hmm. That I kind of like that. I kind of like what they do. So
yeah, you are. You know, Dave, that's what I like about you. You are right a large portion of the time.
I thought you were about to break into their romantic song. That's what I like about you. Because I really know how to dance.
Do you really?
And for a 61-year-old fat man, I can do it.
I want to see – when I come up next week, I want to see you bust a move in your Ronald McDonald shoes.
No. Everybody makes fun of my shoes because I got some big old feet, don't I now?
You know what they say about a man with big feet?
It's not true.
Oh, you don't wear big shoes?
I got big shoes and big hands. It's not true. Oh, that's terrible of me. But it's fun. Oh, I'm going to get in so much trouble for this. Remember, this is on my radio station page also, so Ken, I'm not sorry. guys, if you don't know, I have really large feet. I have a size 14 extra wide shoe that I wear that looks like Frankenstein could wear them. I've had a guy in the past use my shoes for clown shoes. That's how big my feet are. Sorry. But at least I could buy John Cena shoes and you can't.
Today's National Laughter Day.
It is National Let's Laugh Day. Yeah, okay. Oh. I agree.
Yeah.
We get off on tangents, don't we?
I guess. Hey, you know what? This is our freaking show. We can do whatever we want.
Dadgum right. We're doing this for free. Nobody's making any money on this, especially us. So let me ask you a question back to the road to WrestleMania as we shift gears on the road to WrestleMania. Get it? Shift mm-hmm. gears? Kurt Angle, Baron Corbin.
What do you want to talk about?
Is it a good match?
No.
Who would you rather have seen?
I would rather see Cena and Angle. I mean, because, you know, wasn't it – Angle gave Cena his first – that open challenge or whatever.
Yeah, no, that's true, yeah.
And who better to send him out than the first person that – Just a thought.
Yeah, and you know, Chris had the same thought, and I can't say that wouldn't have been a great idea. Was John available? That's another thing we have to think about. But John could come in at the last minute.
Where is John?
He's trying on shoes.
Well, he needs to get with the program here. We're on the road to WrestleMania. He can't. He's not going to miss Mania, is he really?
I doubt if he will. Maybe that's the one that comes out. Didn't John Cena interrupt Elias last year?
Yeah, I think so.
Now think about this. Yeah. Elias this Monday night said, it's not going to happen like it did last year at WrestleMania. I might be brilliant.
Hmm.
I might be dumb.
But you can't gloat anymore. You've already gloated enough.
Oh, man. I'll try not to gloat if I'm right about that one. But think about the storyline. All the things that Baron Corbin has put Kurt through this past year, isn't that also a possible way to end that feud? And does Kurt put Baron over?
Oh, I don't know.
Think retirement match, Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair.
Yeah.
So there's still just a lot of questions.
Am I wrong for saying that I just really am not a huge Baron Corbin fan? I just never quite figured him out.
I liked him better when he was on SmackDown, when he had the hair and dressed in the leathers. Mm-hmm. I didn't like this corporate incarnation when they made him the constipated Baron Corbin. I mean, the constable Baron Corbin. I don't like that incarnation. I would prefer him to coming out in the biker leathers and, you know, how Test used to come out. When Test would come out in the long black leathers with the chaps and all that. I kind of like that look for Baron Corbin.
As the lone wolf.
Yeah. You know who else was the lone wolf? Lenny Kozanowski on Laverne and Shirley of Lenny and Squeaky.
Sorry, Dave.
Before your time?
I watched television. I didn't listen to the radio things. So, sorry, buddy.
Laverne and Shirley, my man. One of the best sitcoms of all time.
Oh, so it wasn't you and little Jimmy sitting around the radio on Saturday night listening to the Lone Ranger?
No, but can I give you a little musical history here, my man? Laverne and Shirley, it was a spinoff of Happy Days, okay? Lenny and Squiggy were the kind of the goofy characters on there, and they had a rock band called Lenny and the Squigtones. Mm-hmm. Lenny was Michael McKean. Now, who was Michael McKean? You look at This Is Spinal Tap. Mm-hmm. He was in Spinal Tap. He did most of the music. He's a very talented musician. He married Annette O'Toole, the actress. He's done a lot of different TV shows, and he's been very active. But when you take a look at rock and roll history and the movie This Is Spinal Tap and how important it is to that genre of movies and also to rock and roll, I'll just tell – can I tell you a quick story real quick about that?
Well, yeah.
Okay, it's our show. It's our show.
I get paid by the hour.
I have a copy – of the comedy album called Lenny and the Squigtones. I bought it at a used record store in St. Louis on my birthday. It had to be around 1990 or 91. It was on my birthday. I'm standing in line buying it for myself as my birthday present, and I'm paying $5 for it. Somebody standing in line offered me $25 right then and there if I would let him buy that album. And it's hanging on my wall right now.
So you didn't sell it?
I did not sell it. It was my birthday present to me.
You could have made money and just went and bought the other out again.
But you can't find it. It's very rare.
Oh.
Okay. So there. Coming up a little bit later on, Zane and I discuss who this Clive fella is and why he owes me money. But up next, it's Chris on the Mat.
Turnbuckle Trash fans, you can stay in the ring with us by following us on Facebook and clicking that like button on our Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Or you can follow us on Twitter, at Turnbuckle Trash. And in case you got any comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email us at wpfpod@gmail.com. Again, that's wpfpod@gmail.com.
On the match.
I'm lost for words.
The original trash head, Chris Evans.
If a guy didn't get cracked open, he wasn't really wrestling.
Chris.
On the mat.
You can make people sit their butts in those seats. Your box office.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
You're changing your Depends over to diapers.
One of our favorite parts of Turnbuckle Trash is when we are joined by Christopher Evans. We call this Chris on the Mat. Chris, how you doing, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. It's another wonderful day here in Winston-Salem. Everybody is gambling and everyone's throwing in the money and wishing they threw it right back to them. But other than that, everyone's having a great time. How is Utah and Turnbuckle Trash doing?
Turnbuckle Trash is doing great. I want to thank everyone that's been tuning in and joining us on our Facebook page. We've had several new people come in and joining us. And our interview with Manny Lemons, well, we got a real spike on our website. So we thank you. We hope everyone continues with us because we do enjoy having people with us on Turnbuckle Trash. Well, Chris, Fastlane took place.
Fastlane went into the slow lane and then went into the handicap zone. I didn't really like Fastlane that much. It just wasn't the best pay-per-view that, and let's just say it was second behind Crown Jewel. I'll say that.
Ooh, and Crown Jewel sucked. Sorry.
Yeah, this one right here was just about that. I mean, but no, Fastlane just wasn't good for me. I didn't like it. Too many stipulations in the last of the championship match, and we'll go over that. But yeah. I think they're drawing out, and everybody can see the writing on the wall, what's fixing to happen here shortly.
I thought one of the best matches of the entire show came during the pre-match show when they had the New Day and Rusev and Shinsuke Nakamura with the New Day winning by pinfall. I thought that was a very entertaining match. And
I just love the way Shinsuke Nakamura has his little entrance, and all he needs to start doing is the moonwalk.
Yeah. I would love to see him come out with a sequin glove one time. I love that.
I want to see him come down with the with the zombies, and they can start doing Thriller or something like that. And, I mean, I would love to find out where he gets his wardrobe from.
He is a huge Michael Jackson fan. It's part of the reason he has some of the moves he does and his outfits. So I just love to see him come out with a sequin glove. I would love that. So
well, have you seen the guy that's on YouTube now that is a professional wrestler that is dressed up like Michael Jackson and does all the moves?
Yeah.
And it looks ridiculous. He grabs a guy, does the moonwalk, and puts him in a DDT.
Yeah.
Come on.
The moonwalk DDT. Yeah, I've seen that one.
Of all the things.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
But let's continue with Fastlane. Next thing you know, Big Bird will come out with Oscar the Grouch in a can. Come on.
Well, what about Cookie Monster at that point? So,
yes, well.
Me love Cookie.
Back to Fastlane. Very predictable match with the Usos against Shane McMahon and The Miz, although it was well done with the twist at the end. I liked the way it was done, but it was also very predictable. You have been predicting this for quite a while, that Shane would turn on The Miz.
Oh, yes, I did. And I predicted that this was going to happen, that eventually either The Miz would turn on Shane or Shane would turn on The Miz. And now that we saw it on SmackDown, what was in the middle of the ring when Shane was doing his promo? It was the title. It was the best in the world. I'm telling you, it was so predictable. When Shane lifted up that arm, his arm, and then all of a sudden, bam, it was there. Yeah. But the only part I didn't like about it is they should have added The Miz's father in it more. Shane should have grabbed his father, pulled him over the rail, maybe DDT his father, or do the coast to coast to his dad. I mean, that
you
would
think
have been,
his dad could have taken that kind of bump though?
I don't really know, but I mean, if a 75-year-old man, if Vince can take it, why not that mustache guy?
with his hair and everything. So
yeah. I mean, could you see Shane actually doing that to The Miz's dad, the coast to coast? And, I could see. Well, I don't know. You're probably right. That would probably hurt that old gentleman.
Yeah, it depends on how much training he's got, So that is setting up with Shane and The Miz going against each other, probably for the best. Are they making it for the Best of the World title?
Not yet, but I'm afraid. I think it's going to be a stipulation because Shane keeps having that the Best of the World Cup always in his promos.
Uh-huh.
So it's got to be. Mm-hmm. So if it happens, I'm going to pat myself on the back with a 2x4. I predicted this was going to happen because what better way to make The Miz as a babyface and to say that he is the best in the world?
Yeah.
So there we go. And we've also wanted to see The Miz have a push.
Yeah.
He needs to have a push because he's been pushed back, into the mid card. And it would be nice to see him like with the world title.
Yeah. It would be eventually. But yeah. Wasn't that Best of the World tournament part of Crown Jewel?
Oh, unfortunately, yes.
I was so mad at the end of Crown Jewel. Remember, you and I did a special edition just about Crown Jewel because both of us were so angry at the poor quality of that event. It was, I have seen indie shows better than that stupid Crown Jewel show. Sorry, WWE, you dropped the ball on that one, man.
Well, me and Kelly, we all...
Oh yeah, Kelly was with us.
We were all together with this, and we all did the special on it. And like I said, the only thing that excited the crowd is when an 80-something-year-old man was ripping off his T-shirt and going, "Brother, brother, brother." That's the only excitement that they had. And it looked like the Undertaker didn't have his dentures in one of the pictures when he's trying to throw Shawn Michaels into the guardrail. I mean, Crown Jewel was the worst. The absolute worst. I know we're getting off the subject. This is the absolute worst pay-per-view ever. But why does the WWE keep regurgitating every pay-per-view the same way? Same matches. Same it just doesn't have its flair like it used to anymore.
I'll tell you exactly why. I mean, this is my opinion only. My opinion is they don't have enough time to set up their storylines. And I've said it before, and I'll just say it a million times again. It all depends on how you set things up. And I'm seeing that. I was just watching Monday Night Raw from last night because we're recording this on Tuesday. And I was sitting there saying, they don't have enough time to really set up Baron Corbin and Kurt Angle. They've had a long time to set it up, but to really set up this as the last 3 weeks going in to Mania, it's just not enough. Asuka, who is the women's champion on SmackDown, took on Mandy Rose. I thought a very sloppy match. I was very disappointed in that match.
Yeah, Asuka's also had a head injury at a house show as well. She's been, I don't think she's on the shelf yet, but I mean, she was dropped on her head by another wrestler. I don't know who the female was, but the tape shows where she was being picked up and then dropped. And I mean, she dropped smack on the top of her head and she was holding it and they were trying to get her in the back. I wouldn't mind seeing Ronda Rousey and Asuka go at it.
Oh, I would too. I thought originally that they were going to make the Mania match a fatal four-way and include Asuka. And, you know, they still have that possibility, but right now I don't think it's a good possibility for that happening because the way the Rousey, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte Flair thing is going. And by the way, I can't make it because I have to do something called work. But the man is going to be in Salt Lake City coming up this Friday at a car show there called Autorama.
Oh, okay.
And she's going to be there on Friday. And boy, I wish I could take some time off and go down that. But I can't do everything, you know, especially since it's 2 hours away getting into Salt Lake. And so I thought part of the fast lane that was disappointing but also fascinating at the same time was the bits with Kofi Kingston when they go backstage and Vince tells Kofi that the heavyweight championship was going to be a triple threat and that he needs to go into the ring. I'm going, oh, what's Vince going to do now? And they send out the bar in a handicap match. It was I you know, probably setting up Mania a little bit.
Yeah.
Because of what's going to happen on SmackDown tonight with the Gauntlet match, and I'll find, because with editing and everything, I will insert what the results were from the Gauntlet match about here.
Tonight is Kofi Kingston's last opportunity. Kofi must do the impossible. Can Kingston take out five of SmackDown's elite superstars? Can he guarantee himself a WWE title opportunity at WrestleMania? Kofi Kingston's Road to WrestleMania Gauntlet match is tonight.
All in there! Don't you dare be sour! Clap for your world famous five-time champs and feel the power!
If there's any hope for Kofi, he's got to feed off the adrenaline. But again, Kingston is a human being. He has been through physical hell to this point.
You want to get to WrestleMania? Come to that man. David, this is the greatest performance of Kofi Kingston's career.
That was the greatest single performance in WWE history.
And Kofi Kingston is headed to WrestleMania.
I just want to say what's on the mind of everyone all over the world, and that's Kofi Kingston. Congratulations. And Kofi, you're going to WrestleMania.
Amen.
You're going to WrestleMania as long as you can defeat this one last opponent.
Are you kidding me?
One night wasn't enough. Competing for over 55 minutes, now Kofi Kingston has to beat the WWE champion.
Yeah, we get it. It's clear. Mr. McMahon simply does not want Kofi Kingston at WrestleMania.
For the life of me, I do not understand this.
I understand it. Anyone but Kofi. That's what it is.
Got to the bottom rope.
The WWE Universe has not given up on Kofi. Now Daniel Bryan mocking the WWE Universe with a yes chant.
Oh, Kofi, shake it off, shake it off.
Oh, Bryan has got Kofi in his sights, and the running knee obliterates
Come on.
Kofi
Kick
Kingston.
Out. Kick out!
Kofi Kingston is not going to WrestleMania.
God, here is your winner, the WWE Champion, the new Daniel Bryan.
This is an absolute travesty, an absolute shame.
I thought that was an interesting little swerve there and did set up WrestleMania. So as much as I complain about not setting up their Mania matches, that one I think is going to be a good one because I think that's going to turn into a triple threat match for the WWE.
Let's face it. The WWE's, the tender that they've had is going down faster than a Taco Bell burrito. Look, it's just not like it used to be. The same old matches. They're losing tag teams. They're losing other wrestlers. There's people that are ticked off. And let's have a WrestleMania that's going to be 17 hours long and keep people bored. 17 matches, and now Kofi Kingston. And we all know that Kofi's going to get it. Hopefully he gets it. He needs it.
Yeah.
He needs it.
Yeah.
I mean, the man deserves it.
Yeah.
Very much.
It's frustrating but fascinating to see what's going on in the minds of the creative staff at the WWE. I mean, you can't hit a home run every time. I know that. But sometimes you sit there and say, who in the world thought up this piece of garbage, you know?
Like they've been watching Ren and Stimpy cartoons.
Hey, I love Ren and Stimpy.
I like Ren and Stimpy too, but Powdered Toast Man could make a better pay-per-view than these idiots can. I mean, come on.
Can I tell you a quick story? At Comic-Con, a Comic-Con a couple of years ago, you know, people at Comic-Cons dress up and they do cosplay. Yeah. There was a guy dressed up like Powdered Toast Man.
Oh,
and I had my picture taken with him. I love Powdered Toast
love
Man.
That. I love Powdered Toast Man.
Oh, yeah. And I have the Powdered Toast Man comic book, by the way, believe it or not. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's get back into Fastlane. We get up on these tangents. Yeah,
yep.
I love Ren and Snippy. The Revival defeated Aleister Black and Ricochet, along with Bobby Roode and Chad Gable, to continue to be the Raw Tag Team Championship. Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead. Let's talk
Ricochet and Aleister Black. Why are they getting a push as a tag team when all in NXT they were both singles competitors?
I guess Vince got the wrong kind of medicine when he went to the doctor's office and he thought they were a tag team. I don't really know. I mean, they work as good as a tag, but I thought Aleister Black was supposed to be the next Undertaker.
Oh, I wish he was. I wish he would. I mean, wish they'd let him be a heel, be a badass.
Yeah, I thought Aleister Black was supposed to be that, and Ricochet was supposed to be like Rey Mysterio Jr. without the mask. It works, but they don't have really it's not a tag team. A lot of people are scratching their heads. When I first saw them, I thought, okay, this might work a little bit. No, it won't.
Yeah.
And it's like having that new car smell. It's there for a minute, and then as soon as you get in, it's gone. I mean,
as soon as you drive off the lot,
it's gone. That new car smell just went out the window. That's what these two are. I mean, it was a good tag team at first, but then it got boring. Thank you, Vince. You did it again.
Yeah, and now Aleister Black was not on Raw this week, but there was a good reason for him not to be on Raw. They mentioned it on Raw. Michael Cole said he's taking care of business back in the Netherlands in his home country. Well, yeah, he was taking care of business, all right. He was on his honeymoon with Selena Vega from SmackDown. Ooh, yeah. That's taking care of business. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, he was too legit to quit. Yes, yeah. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, to me, the best match of the night, Fastlane, was for the U.S. title. Samoa Joe, Rey Mysterio, and R-Truth in their Fatal 4-Way. I thought that was such a fun match with everybody getting their high spots and then R-Truth doing the comedy in the match and Samoa Joe. Man, oh, what a monster. I love Samoa Joe.
Look, Samoa Joe deserves that title. Samoa Joe, it's about time that he held a title in the WWE. 2 years. Three years.
Yeah.
Been there 3 years, no world title, no intercontinental, no tag team, but finally he gets the U.S.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, R-Truth. your time was up.
But, oh, yeah. So. On the last podcast, I don't know if you remember, but Zane and I were talking about why R-Truth is in that role that he's in the comedy, because he can go. I mean, this guy can go in his 40s. He looks good. He's got a good shtick. But he's been cast in this comedy role, but he does it so well. I mean, when he does funny stuff, it is hilarious.
Yeah, he does. But this man can say one thing that everybody except for one other wrestler has done that no one else in the WWE except for one other wrestler has done that I believe, if I'm correct, he is the only one on the roster that has ever won the NWA title. He won the NWA World Heavyweight Championship.
Wow.
Yes.
When he wasn't wrestling for the WWE?
Yes, when he was with TNA. TNA, NWA, he won the World Heavyweight title.
Yeah, that was, okay, I remember that now, yeah. Ron the Truth Killings, yeah.
Yep. But see, hell, I wouldn't mind seeing him as a world champion. I know it will never happen as long as I live.
Yeah.
But so, you know, I mean, but yeah, go ahead.
When somebody is as good at what they do and providing such a valuable part to an entire wrestling program, I mean, you know, wrestling, you know, is violent, it is storytelling, but they always try to come in with just a little bit of comedy. Now you put R-Truth up against Gentleman Jervis. Do you know who Gentleman Jervis is?
Yes.
The guy with the fur on his belly that rocks people to sleep as his finishing move?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Lord.
And he weighs, what, 3,000 butterflies? That doesn't get it for me. I'm sure there's a lot of people. I know Tom Sherlock, who used to do the podcast with me, he thinks Gentleman Jervis is hilarious. I'm sorry. it's not my kind of thing. But that's what I'm saying about R-Truth, that he provides a credible comedy act in the middle of something that is so violent and so serious. He comes out and he provides this little bit of a break that just kind of lightens up the mood a little bit. So I think it's invaluable. I think he's invaluable.
Well, I mean, what really got him started was, and we all know who this is, we've never seen him before because we can't see him. It was Little Jimmy.
I saw Little Jimmy.
Little Jimmy.
Little Jimmy was my man. You know, that was,
yes.
They started that against John Cena, didn't they?
Yep.
Yeah, I love Little Jimmy. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Little Jimmy was the man. Little Jimmy was, I mean, that was every time he would come out and they said, "Don't what me and Little Jimmy." And I mean, it was so funny. That's the best one that I've ever seen was with him and Triple H were talking in the ring one time. Are you talking to me or are you talking to him? Are you talking to me or are you talking to him? So, and then R-Truth looks at him and goes, "Man, you crazy." Mm-hmm. So it was, yeah.
That was awesome.
He's valuable, but, I wish R-Truth all the best. And I'm surprised they haven't released him yet. Out of all the people they've released, I'm surprised he's still around.
Well,
I really am.
You think about what he adds. I mean,
yeah, he does.
He adds to that. Yeah,
he adds it.
Who else can do comedy like that? You know, Kevin Owens can do some very funny stuff. I'll give him credit there. I just think KO is a very talented man. But who can come out and play that goofball character and then just be, you know, a very credible, wonderful wrestler in the ring? That's a real talent. And I think that's why he's probably still there. And everybody loves to sing What's Up.
Oh, yeah. Everyone
what's up? What's up?
What's up? What's up? Yep, they love it.
Yeah. So let's move on to, I thought, an entertaining match. Maybe just a little bit disappointing. Daniel Bryan defeated Kevin Owens and Mustafa Ali in their triple threat. Mustafa Ali was put into a really bad situation. The crowd, time he was, when he was introduced and every time he was in the ring, they were shouting for Kofi Kingston. I don't think that they realized how much the crowd would really get into this Kofi Kingston stuff. And so Mustafa Ali, who is a wonderful wrestler, it's got a great backstory with him being a former policeman and very talented man. I think he's just an excellent performer. So that was my one disappointment in the match. And then to watch Daniel Bryan's chest being beat on with those slaps and it all turns red. You remember that? Do you remember the line? Do you remember the line that came out of that?
Look at the chest of Bryan. It's like ground meat, like hamburger. Daniel Bryan would be humiliated to know his chest looked like processed meat.
Yeah, they described it as describing it looking like hamburger meat. and then Corey Graves says, isn't that a huge insult to a vegan?
Well, yeah.
I love it. Anyway, that part cracked me up. Daniel Bryan's still the champ, though, going into WrestleMania. I'm sure that will be a three-way this time, fatal three-way, Kevin Owens, Daniel Bryan, and hopefully Kofi Kingston, or maybe just a one-on-one with Kingston. Who knows what they're going to be doing.
It'll probably be a one-on-one with Kingston, more than likely. Or it could be Kevin Owens. I don't really know. I like the way Kevin had come back. And Kevin has dropped a lot of weight, and he looks in phenomenal shape. And he takes over the ring. He's brilliant on the mic. But I want to see Kofi Kingston as the World Heavyweight Champion to say, thank you for all the years. Here's the belt. Now you're going to lose it next week on SmackDown.
So, they've been known to do that now, haven't they?
Yes, they have.
Yeah, who was it that won a major title and they dropped it? Wasn't it Dolph Ziggler that won a major title and the next night he dropped it on Raw?
No, I think it was Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah, Alberto did and Zack Ryder did too. He won the U.S. title and then dropped it the next night, something like that. Yeah,
he won the Intercontinental title.
Oh, that's right. So I'm doing.
Yeah, he won the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania. Then the next night on Raw, gone.
Oh, that ticked me off. I was so mad.
Well, see, that's the problem with the WWE. They put the belts on these guys that thank you for all your years that you've been with us. I mean, then they take the belts away because you're not. I'm going to say it again. You're not box office. You don't put the butts in the seats. I'm sorry. Your woo 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 has gone whoa whoa whoa. and Daniel Bryan, I love you as a heel, sir. Eat a hamburger.
That ain't gonna happen.
Give you a tofu dog.
Oh, tofu. Oh man,
tofu dog.
I think you have Hardee's back in North Carolina, don't you? A Hardee's
yes.
hamburger chain. And
yes,
out here, it's called Carl's Jr. They're owned by the same people. They're running a major promotion right now with, you know, it's supposed to be the Beyond Burger, and it's actually a veggie burger.
Oh, my Lord.
And I probably shouldn't say this. Might get him in trouble if this gets back to the corporate office. I talked to one of the managers at one of the stores I go to, and I said, is that any good? He says, well, I don't like it. they said they sell about 15 to 20 a day, which is not that much as far.
Well, they can keep their money and keep that for whatever it is. And I mean, McDonald's is coming up with veggie nuggets, vegan nuggets. I mean, think about that. Try to put that into your head about three times.
I just ate my lunch and I'm about to lose it.
Yes, you dang Skippy.
Oh, that sounds gross.
I'll take a double cheeseburger with extra bacon, please. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'll take the extra bacon, no cheese. Another kind of a disappointing match to me, Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair. Becky comes out selling that leg injury and going against Charlotte Flair. And if Becky doesn't win, she's not going to be part of WrestleMania. Well, of course, out comes Ronda Rousey about, 10 minutes into the match. And Rousey interferes. So Becky does win. And now Becky wins by disqualification. And now she's going to be part. Disappointed because I wish they hadn't have just been selling this leg injury too much. They, you know, you heard it. You know what I did, right?
Mm-hmm.
Should I play that right now? How many times in this short match that they mentioned that leg injury? Listen to this.
Becky Lynch is on a crutch. She has a bad knee, bad ribs, a bad arm, but Dean, that the injured knee means that she can lock in her patented figure eight submission.
Imagine even those right hands don't have as much of an effect on one good leg.
And right to the injured knee of Becky Lynch.
Bad knee.
Becky Lynch wrapped up, bad knee wrapped around the ropes by Charlotte. Charlotte continuing to work on the injured knee of Becky. And look at the positioning of Becky's injured leg. The torque on the knee of Becky Lynch. Will she tap out to Charlotte as she continues the pressure on the injured knee?
How much offense can Becky muster on one leg?
Back to the bad knee. Again, Charlotte picks Becky at the knee. Boom! Right back to the bad leg.
Charlotte Flair just dissecting Becky Lynch's knee at this point.
And back to the bad leg. And Charlotte... back to the injured knee. And now the injured knee. Ronda Rousey striking Becky Lynch.
Your winner of the match by disqualification and heading to WrestleMania, Becky Lynch.
It was a little bit ridiculous. They just horn in on one little thing. Oh, her leg, her knee. It drives me crazy.
You don't have to beat us over the head to tell us that she has a leg injury. We know this. She came walking out with a crutch. It's not like she sprained her leg. It's not like she twisted it. Yes, we know she has an injury. Michael Cole, get over it.
I complain a lot about creative, but I'm also going to give them props on this one. I love the setup with the Ronda Rousey heel turn. I'm loving this setup and this storyline going into WrestleMania with the triple threat. I mean, I can't wait for that match. I'm hoping that it'll be nearly as good as the setup.
The thing that I'm having it's not real difficult for me because I understand what's going on and I know what they're doing. They're letting Ronda do something like Roddy Piper. They're letting her off her chain and let her do what she wants to do creatively. It's a work. We all know it's a work. Everything that she did on the internet, all she's done on YouTube, everything that she's dropping these F-bombs, all this stuff.
It's a work.
It's a work. But one guy, and I had an internet war with him, one guy says that it's bad for business. And guess who good friends he's with?
Who is that?
Vince Russo. I'm not kidding you. This guy used to work at WCW with Vince Russo.
That ought to tell you a whole heck of a lot, shouldn't it?
So everybody jumped on his butt about it. And it was just... he goes, it's bad for business. Ronda, you need to leave the WWE. You need to go. This heel turn is no good. I've talked to my good friend Vince Russo. Vince don't like it. Well, Vince, you're the one that ruined WCW. You're the one that ruined TNA. I don't think your opinion really matters to us. Step down. Thank you.
Goodbye.
It's a work.
It's a brilliant work. I love it.
It's something that she is doing good for once.
And she fits this character so much better than coming out looking like Opie Taylor. I mean, she come out, I'm going to go fishing with Pa. You know, I hated her as a face. So
Smiles, the patting little girls on the head. And you know on the inside that now that she's turned heel and you know it's kind of hurting her. She'll say it behind closed doors that she doesn't like it because it's hurting her image. She wants girls to, idolize her and, be just like her. But look, right now your stock just went up in the WWE for this heel turn.
And she's not looking down the road. When she turns face again,
mm-hmm.
she will be that much more of a star.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a brilliant move for career-wise. Now, I know she wants to have a family and things like that, mm-hmm. but...
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure that, you know, it might not work out. Her contract supposedly is coming up, but I think it's a brilliant storyline for what professional wrestling is. This, although I don't like her cutting down the performances and saying it's fake and all that stuff, but I understand why they're doing that. I completely understand that, but it is a work. So
everybody knows that if we didn't know it's a work, we wouldn't be marks
right.
in this industry. We all love the industry.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Sometimes somebody has to rock the boat, as they say. She reminds me of a former wrestler. She reminds me of Stone Cold a little bit, but no, the man reminds me really of Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Right.
I mean, she even did Stone Cold's promo at the King of the Ring.
Yeah.
And it was spot on. I mean, it sounded, it didn't sound like him, but she had it down pretty well.
Right.
And Ronda Rousey, can we, I give you all the credit in the world, girl. I hope that you make it. But the rumors are going around that she's not going to be, after WrestleMania, she'll be gone. Who knows? Maybe she wants to go back to UFC.
But as far as the WrestleMania program itself, love it. Love it, love it, love it. I want to ask you about the last hurrah of The Shield. The Shield defeats Baron Corbin, Drew McIntyre, and Bobby Lashley. It was a wild match. It was a lot better than I thought it would be, but it was very predictable.
Yeah, it was predictable. I mean, we've seen the final match of The Shield. Who all cared about that match, please raise your hand for your lollipop. It was good to see Roman Reigns in the ring again. It was good to see The Shield, but we've seen it time and time again. This will be the big thing if Dean Ambrose is leaving. Who knows if Dean's going to leave or not? Everything's going, you know, up in the air. But I really didn't like the match. It was good choreographed and everything, but to me, it really didn't make any sense. I mean, you're putting Drew McIntyre in the ring with these two clubber lanes. And I mean, I'd rather see Drew McIntyre by himself right now, because that man is really tearing it up in the ring. He's doing better than he ever has.
I would love to see him as the champion. I mean, honestly,
well,
you know, I think it probably will happen sometime this year.
I'm thinking it's going to happen at WrestleMania.
For the Universal title?
Yeah, I think it's going to happen at WrestleMania, because he stated on Raw he was going to take out Seth, and he was going to be the one that goes for that title at WrestleMania.
No.
I don't know. Maybe.
Well, you're working at a casino. I'll bet you on this one. No. But no, I don't. But anyway.
I'll put a blackjack on that one right now.
Okay.
So, okay, go right ahead.
I tell you what, let's take a quick break. We're going to come back with some news from around the world of professional wrestling, and we're going to kind of look a little bit towards the road to WrestleMania. It's all coming up on this edition of Turnbuckle Trash.